الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Dear respected teachers, brothers, elders, and my dear respected mothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Living in this world, it is necessary that we socialize with people. We need to socialize with our family members, our relatives, our teachers, our students. When we go to the shops, then we need to socialize and converse with the shopkeeper. The shopkeeper, he will converse with the customers. So living in this world, a person needs to socialize. If a person wants to seclude himself and live on his own, then that will not be possible for him to lead a comfortable life. He needs to socialize. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that this was the nature of man, that he needs to socialize. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the very outset has set boundaries and limits. If we stay within these boundaries, then we will be pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will be paving our way to the gardens of paradise. And on the other hand, if we surpass and trespass these boundaries, then we are going to attract the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to socializing, the golden rule that we need to keep in mind is that we should only socialize out of necessity. If there is a necessity, if it is necessary that we need to socialize, then we socialize. Otherwise, we should not socialize. Islam does not say that don't socialize, become antisocial. No. There are moments in a person's life, and it may be many times in a day, that a person needs to socialize. If there is necessity, then there is no harm in that. On one occasion, a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for some advice, and he posed the question, "Man najat?" Now, where does salvation lie? What is salvation? Where is success? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from amongst the advices the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, the first advice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave was that kuffa alayka lisanak, that control your tongue. Only speak when you are going to be speaking within the boundary set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are going to be trespassing these boundaries, then it is better that you keep your tongue under control and you do not say anything. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, "Man samata naja," that whoever kept silent has gained salvation, he has saved himself. And yes, in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question us for every word that we uttered in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the glorious Quran, "Ma yalfidhu min qawlin illa ladayhi raqibun atid," that a person does not utter anything, but there is an angel ever ready noting down what this person is going to say. So in the hereafter, a person will be questioned for everything that he uttered in this world. But if we look into our lives in this very world, we see so many people who do not adhere to this advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of the misuse of their tongue. They end up into trouble and they end up into calamities in this very world. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's advice is not only exclusive for the hereafter, it is also for this world as well, that man samata naja, that whoever kept silent has saved himself. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a similar theme. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُدْ. That whoever is a perfect believer, how is he a perfect believer? He believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the final day, in the last day. So what should he do? فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُدْ. He should either say something which is khair, something which is good, something which a person will gain goodness out of. Otherwise, if the opportunity does not arise, liyasmut, then this person should keep silent. He should remain silent. One of the main reasons why we always think that the tongue is out of our control. Many people say that it is out of our control. When we speak, our tongue keeps on talking. And we say things, we say wrong things. The reason for this is that we have let it free. Because we have let our tongues free, it no longer is under our control, and it tends to say whatever whatever the heart desires, whatever comes into the mind, we tend to say it. And through this, we end up lying. Through this, we end up deceiving people, cheating people. Through this, we end up backbiting people. Backbiting, what is backbiting? When we say something bad regarding someone behind that person's back. And many people try to justify themselves by saying that what I am saying is actually found in this person, found in this friend of mine. The answer to this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave 1400 years ago. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that if that defect, if that deficiency is actually found in that person, then that is what backbiting is. If that defect, if that deficiency is not found in that person, then you have not backbited that person, you have now slandered that person. So because we do not keep our tongues under our control, because we have let it free, we end up backbiting, we end up slandering people, we end up hurting people's feelings, we end up being two-faced, we end up tail-bearing. On one occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passing two graves, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that in these two graves there are two people, they are being punished in the grave, they are being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that one person, he is being punished because he was not careful of urine drops, he was not careful of that, because of that he is being punished. And the other person, what was he being punished for? Because of tail bearing. He would go to one person, say something. He will go to another person, say something contrary, say something different. And what was the reason for this? Either the reason may be that he wants to break the relationship between these two people. He's saying one story in front of one person, she is saying one story in front of one person, then she is going behind the person's back and saying something else in front of someone else. Or, and other reasons, to justify themselves, they have done something wrong. And they want to show to the people that, no, I have got connection and I have got good relationship with you. So they will say one story in front of this person, and then they will go behind that person, go to another person, and then they will say something completely different, because they want to justify, no, I am on your side. For this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that this person, he is being punished in the hereafter, is being punished in the grave. The hereafter is still going to come. The punishment has already started on this person in this very world. So when it comes to the tongue, we need to keep it under our control. كُفَّ عَلَيْكَ نِسَانًا. We need to keep the reins of our tongue under our control. If we do this from the very outset, then it will become very easy for us to control our tongue. So going back to the hadith, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said that كُفَّ عَلَيْكَ نِسَانًا. مَنْ نَجَاتْ. Salvation lies in this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say that salvation lies in salah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say that salvation lies in Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say that salvation lies in fasting during the month of Ramadan. Why? If a person cannot control his tongue, then he will always like to socialize. Whether it be that a person, he comes for salah, he will want to socialize with someone. While he is in salah, this thought will come into his mind that when can I leave the salah and I can start talking to my friends, I can start talking to my associates. When a person is in Hajj, same thing. He is in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything around him is showing that the person should have his attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because this person's tongue is not under his control, it's not under her control, then that person will continue socializing. In the month of Ramadan. It is the month of Ramadan, a month of mercy, wherein the rebellious shayateen have been chained up. But if a person is unable to control their tongue, then even in the month of Ramadan, they will be disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we understand from this that the reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that kuffa alayka lisanak, salvation lies in controlling the tongue. Because if a person, he is able to control the tongue, if she is able to control the tongue, then they will come out of socializing unnecessarily, and they will save themselves from committing sins, even in blessed times, blessed moments and blessed places. If a person cannot control the tongue, then no matter how blessed the moment is, how blessed the place is, they will ruin themselves. They will destroy themselves. It is for this reason that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that one of the reasons why Sadaqatul Fitr is given towards the month of Ramadan, so that it is distributed to the poor after the month of Ramadan, the day of Eid, so they can also enjoy themselves. So one of the reasons the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that why Sadaqatul Fitr is given, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that it is a purification of the fast. It is a purification of the fast from the futile talk that a person did during the month of Ramadan whilst in a state of fasting. It is a purification of the fast from the vile discourses, the vile talk that a person did whilst during the month of Ramadan. So now the question arises that how do we control our tongues? What is the way of controlling the tongue? Our respected Sheikh Muhammad Salim Dawlat Hafidhahullah, he mentions that the first thing that a person should do, this is for us beginners, in order to bring our tongue under our control, is that we should remain silent. Man samata najah is for people like us. فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ لِيَسْمُتْ is for people like us. Because the tongue is not under our control, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's advice for us beginners is that remain silent. And then when we gain a grip and we understand that when we should speak, when we should not speak, then the second stage comes. The second stage is that فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا, say something good. When you have something to say which is good, then say it. Do not remain silent. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentions in another hadith, As-sukutu khayrun min imla'i shab. That sukut, silence, is more better than uttering something which is evil. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that وَإِمْلَاءُ الْخَيْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ السُّكُوتِ. If a person, he has the ability to say something good, he has gained control over his tongue. Not for the beginners. This is for that person who has gained control over the tongue. And now for this person to remain silent, khair does not lie in there. For this person, goodness lies that he shares with people the good that he has to say. So when the person reaches this second stage, now what should this person do? He will have full control when to speak, when not to speak. So what will he be doing? He will be following the footsteps of our pious predecessors. What would they do? Tol pirbol. They would assess, they would weigh their speech and then speak. They would assess what they want to say, then they would speak. This is not for the beginners, like I mentioned earlier on. For the beginners, we should remain silent. If a person decides that from tomorrow I am going to be assessing myself, then talking, then what will usually happen, that they will start saying something good, and slowly they will drift away from that deeny topic that they started, the good topic that they started. Even if a person attends a janazah, if a person goes for iyadat, a person may be in the masjid doing something good, talking about something good, but because this person has still got this illness of unable to control his tongue, slowly he will drift away, she will drift away, and start talking about those topics which bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for the second stage, a person, he will assess, and then that person will speak. If a person has the ability to console someone, someone's child has passed away, someone's relative has passed away, then to console them. Whether that consoling that person has any benefit or not. Many a times we try to console someone, but they carry on crying because of the relative or the mother or the father that they have lost. Whether a person is successful in his consoling or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will record this as khair, will record this as goodness. One hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that man azda saqla kusiya burdan fil jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a woman who has lost a child, if someone consoles her, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this person precious garments to wear in Jannah. Will give him precious garments to wear in Jannah. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is giving this glad tidings in this very world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be entering this person into Jannah. Now, if we are still in the first stage, the beginner stage, and we have always had this habit of socializing, talking, and wasting our time, killing our time in wrong activities. Something else I would like to mention over here as well, that our respected Shaykh Hafizahullah, time and time again, he draws our attention to, that living in this modern age, modern technology, socializing with people, it is not only restricted when we meet someone face to face. Now socializing can be done on the internet, can be done over the mobile phone. So many a times, when it comes to mobile phones, our respected Shaykh Hafizahullah, he mentions that if we have a contract, we have 300 minutes every month, 200 minutes every month, 500 minutes every month, then for some reason, some people have this thought in their mind that when the month is slowly approaching, then they say to themselves that we need to finish these minutes that we have got. And they say to themselves, and they tell people, and people say that you are wasting your time. What do they say? That I have paid for this. I am paying £10 every month. I am paying £20 for the every month. So now I have to finish this. So now we are going out of the boundary of necessity. We are phoning this person, we are phoning this friend, and we are just wasting time. So if this has been our life until now, and we are still in the first stage, and we have ample of time that we are just sitting there remaining silent, so how can we also reap the fruits of doing something good, of doing something khair, فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا. Our respected Shaykh Hafizahullah mentions that this person needs to find a substitute. He needs to find a substitute. If he socializes with people, he has not reached that stage that he will continue speaking something good. So what is the substitute? Keep the tongue moist in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Carry on remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And stay engaged in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Engage yourself in tilawah of the glorious Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that when a person reads the glorious Quran, for every letter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants one good deed. And that good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies it by 10. So when a person says alif, lam, mim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this person 30 rewards. And there is no limit in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to multiply this, triple this, it is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should say the third kalima. The third kalima, the benefits of the third kalima is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant this person a tree in Jannah. Because Jannah, it is barren land. There is nothing in Jannah right now. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam also told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night of Mi'raj, that Jannah is barren land. Whatever we do in this world, whatever good we do, whatever khair we do, the al-a'mal salihah that we do, they will prepare our Jannah in the hereafter. So if a person, he says the third kalima, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants that person a tree in the Jannah. If a person says the kalima second time, third time, fourth time, 100 times a day, 200 times a day, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person more trees. And if the garden is going to be that big, if the garden of the person is going to be that big with so many trees, then just imagine the size of the palace in that garden. The size of the palace. And if that's the size of the palace, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to give us an empty palace, of course there will be other treasures lying inside the palace itself. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that what is the size of these trees? When we think about a tree, and we must be thinking about the trees or the big trees that we have seen in our lives, the pictures that we have seen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that if a person, he rides a horse, and he keeps on riding the horse for 100 years, the tree, the shade of the tree will be so long that the shade of that one tree will not end. So if that is the size of one tree, then think about the size of the other trees, and think of the size of Jannah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that to say, if a person says la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, a person says la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refers to this as kanzun min kunuz al jannah, that this is a treasure from the treasures of Jannah. So a person says la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him one treasure. He says la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him another treasure. And this will continue. In regards to this, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, he has mentioned in a couplet that he says that la dara lil mar'i ba'da al mawti yaskunuha, that there is no house for a person in the hereafter, there is no place for a person to reside in the hereafter, illa allati qabla al mawti yabniha, except that house, that place of residence which a person builds before his death. A person builds before his death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us two plots of land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a plot of land in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a plot of land in Jahannam. Now, according to how we behave in this world, we will cultivate and we will build a house in that plot according to the deeds that we do. So Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah mentions that فَإِن بَنَاهَا بِخَيْرٍ طَابَ مَسْكَنُهَا, that if a person he builds the hereafter, he builds his house in the hereafter with bricks of good, with bricks of khair, طَابَ مَسْكَنُهَا, then his place of residence, it is going to be very nice. His place of residence is going to be very beautiful. وَإِن بَنَاهَا بِشَرٍ خَابَ بَانِيهَا, and on the other hand, if a person he makes his house in the hereafter with bricks of shar, with bricks of evil, where he has done evil things, he has hurt someone, he has taken away someone's rights, he has taken away someone's, he has hurt someone, then that person, what does Imam Shafi say? He mentioned that khaba baniha, that this builder, he has perished. This builder, he has made, he has allocated himself the plot which was reserved for him in Jahannam, and he's going to enter Jahannam. So it is very necessary that we bring this tongue under our control. On one occasion, another companion, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that will people be thrown into Jahannam because of their tongue, because of what we speak, because of what a person utters, will he be accounted for that as well? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that hal yakubbu an-nas ala wujuhihim illa hasa'id alsinatihim. The meaning of this hadith is that people will be thrown headlong into the fire of hell because of what their tongues cultivated. The reason that this companion, he posed this question, because he thought to himself, like what we think, that the tongue is out of our control. It just says what it wants to say. And the companion must have also, crossed the mind of this companion that when we speak, it is only words. When we punch someone, when we hurt someone with a blade, with a knife, then this is going to leave marks. It is going to pain the person. But if I just say some words, no matter how vulgar they are, it is not going to leave any marks. It is not going to leave any marks on this person. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, no, many people are going to be thrown headlong into the fire of hell because of what their tongues have cultivated. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that majority of the people who are going to be thrown into Jahannam are for two reasons. Number one, because of their tongues, and number two, because of their private parts. Because of their private parts, because it is related to carnal desires. When a person, he gets addicted to fulfilling his carnal desires, then there is no limit. Yes, he may ask for tawbah, he may repent, but because he is so addicted to it and he does not make effort on himself to remove this spiritual illness, he will carry on doing it, she will carry on doing it. And the other reason was that the tongue. Because we just keep the tongue running, talking, and we find the things that we say very insignificant. And because of this, after we have committed a sin using the tongue, the thought never crosses our minds that we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for forgiveness. we should ask for forgiveness, because we think that we have done something which is very minute, something which is very small. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what has he taught us? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set us boundaries when it comes to socializing, when it comes to talking. And what is this boundary? The boundary is the boundary of khair. If we know that we will be able to say something which is beneficial, which is khair, then we should do it. We should do it. We should remain within the boundaries. And on the other hand, if we know that we are going to say something which is going to be shared, and we are going to be trespassing this boundary which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set, then we should keep our tongues sealed. We should keep our tongues sealed. And a person who gains control over the tongue, this person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that this person will become a perfect believer. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this hadith, is talking about a perfect believer. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that الْمُسْلِمُ مَنْ سَلِمَ النَّاسُ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ That a perfect believer is he. A perfect believer is that person that from whose tongue and from whose hands other people stay safe. Again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned the tongue. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned the tongue before mentioning the hands. With the tongue, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning to all the things related to the tongue. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned the hands, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to all those things which a person can commit with his physical side of his body, whether it be the legs, whether it be the head, whether it be the hands. So why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bring the tongue first? Because when the sins of the tongue, when it comes to sins of the tongue, then it has no bounds. There are no limits to it. When a person wants to harm someone physically, then that person needs to be in front of that person. When a person wants to harm someone physically, then that person has to be weaker than the person who wants to cause harm. When a person wants to cause someone harm physically, that person needs to be alive. But when it comes to the sins of the tongue, there is no limit. That person does not need to be in front of us. That person does not need to be weaker than us. That person does not even need to be alive. That person does not need to be alive, and we can cause harm and say bad things about that person. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that whoever brings the tongue under the control, under her control, under his control, then this person becomes a perfect believer. And what is so great about a perfect believer? What are the benefits of a perfect believer? The benefits of a perfect believer is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant this person direct entry into the gardens of paradise. This person will not need to go to Jahannam first and be cleansed for hundreds and thousands of years before that person is given granted entry into the gardens of paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that person entry into Jannah in this very as soon as he passes away. So what that means, he does not need to worry about anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him peace and comfort on his last moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless this person with husnul khatima. He will pass away and have a good death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him peace and comfort in the grave. When he is questioned by the angels, he will be able to answer very easily. In the hereafter, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment will grant this person shade under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant this person hisab yaseer, an easy reckoning. He will be asked questions, but before he has time to answer anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will move on to the next question, and this person will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is happy with him. When it comes to crossing the bridge of Sirat, then this person will be able to cross the bridge of Sirat at the speed of lightning, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eventually include this person, include this servant of his, into his beloved servant, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show his love for these servants of his, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show his eternal love for these people. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to practice upon what has been said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to control our tongues, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep this thought in our mind, that by fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our lives will not become dry. our lives will not become unenjoyable. Rather, when we stay within the boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be any blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make our life even more enjoyable and even more pleasurable. And our respected Shaykh Hafidhahullah mentions, what is the reason for this? The reason for this is that before, when we were leading a life of shirk, our connection was with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now our creation has become, our connection has become with the Creator, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the controller of the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one that gives pleasure. He is the one that gives happiness. He is the one that grants comfort and peace. So definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep us happy even in following His commands. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Wa asru da'wana alhamdulillah.